If you turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and though I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now shall we look in at Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, into the book of Acts. We look in at chapter 8. Verse 35, Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The sixth chapter of the epistle of Paul to the Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. I believe that it's important, as our brother has just brought before us, to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. And I certainly would give my time to the brother here to continue that very important subject of the local assembly those who are gathered by the Spirit of God and gathered in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say a very hearty amen to what he has said about verse 20, because I would say the same as he does. If you take Matthew 18 and 20 away, you have no place to start. And the only people that could put up with that verse being out of the Bible are those that would simply preach the gospel in some assembly already established. They couldn't go out and pioneer because they had nothing to start with. It is indeed one of the principles of God's precious word as far as the assembly is concerned. That is the prized possession of any assembly, and that is the person in the center with his people gathered unto him. We have then another very important thing brought before us. And it thrills my heart to know that God has been moving amongst us in the salvation of precious souls. We have enjoyed the Bible readings immensely, but I tell you it's a thrill when we hear about souls being reached and gloriously saved. But you know what God desires, you'll remember. If you read your Bible or if you're going to read it, you'll find that the Apostle Paul, when he was called Saul and just saved, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And we go to the Holy Scriptures and we find that in Matthew chapter 28. And please remember, this is a threefold commission. It's given by the risen Lord, and it's a bounded responsibility to any who would go forth and seek to carry out the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, it's not just enough to preach the gospel. We find that there is a threefold commission, and that is not only to preach, but to baptize and to teach those who were baptized. I agree with our brother. I love that little expression, and he has given it again today, and that is to make disciples by the proclamation of the gospel. To mark disciples by water baptism, and to mold disciples by the teaching of God's precious word. That is the commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing short of that will meet what the Lord gives us here, the blessed promise, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the age. Now you keep that. That's God's word. We're not adding or taking from it. And you'll see evangelism of all sorts going around, popular indeed, but remember, they do not carry out the whole commission. And consequently, in Matthew chapter 28, I want young believers, those who are just saved, to take this to your heart. The Lord himself expects you, when you hear the gospel, to listen carefully to it, because the preacher has got a bound responsibility to teach baptism. I remember in one place I had a tent series amongst the Dutch Reformed in Africa. And it came to the night when I was going to speak on baptism. There had been six precious souls reached and saved all out of the Dutch Reformed Church. One brother came up to me, says, you'll lose them tonight if you deal with that. He said, it's like a red flag to a bull. Well, I said, it's God's word, and I must teach it. Well, we gathered those dear people around who had been immersed as children, as infants. And we opened the Holy Scriptures. And you know this brother, he would continue to try and soften the word of God. When one of these dear ladies, and I saw her when I was back in Africa, still in the assembly, she turned to him, she said, he's telling us what the Lord says. and we want to do what he says. And they were all baptized and gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember preaching, brethren. Remember young brethren who are going out preaching. It's a threefold commission, and you find baptism is a responsibility for those who are sent out. Don't look at big preachers. Don't be looking at these movements. We thank God we're not here to criticize. But remember, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account of our stewardship, and I trust that we'll do it with joy. When you go into Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, there you find now the responsibility, or the onus, if you wish, is placed upon the one who hears the gospel, that they might be baptized. So it is a responsibility in Matthew 28 for the preacher to teach, baptize, to baptize them. It's the responsibility of those of you who have just been saved to be baptized, because I don't know whether you understand or not, I went down into the water, and when I went down into the water, I didn't know much about it. But I do believe the Lord was looking down that night, and I was pleasing the Lord, because I believe that's what the Lord wanted me to do. So you see, you have, at the very outset of your Christian living, you can give the Lord joy by obeying his precious word. Now, I don't think it goes to take a great measure of intelligence to look there at Acts chapter 9 and see two big men in a little font, a little egg cup. Can you see two big men going right down into the water and coming up out of the water? You would have to be some sort of a imbecile to believe that. My dear friend, that is God's mode of baptism. It's immersion. Immersion, submersion, and immersion. And you find that that little word, baptism, was used of dyeing a garment. It was put into whatever color or fluid they wanted the garment colored to. And you find it was put right in, and it was brought out. And so you find there we have, without argument, God's mode of baptism. But what some of us didn't know, and I would suggest that I'm still learning, is the teaching and the meaning of baptism, as we get in the lovely epistle of Paul to the Romans. I'm going to give it to you because I believe there would be time just for a short word by some other brother. I'll go down it quickly and I'll bring it before you, and then you'll have some seed, you'll have some help, and you'll be able to go, and before the Lord, you'll be able to enjoy this for yourself. First of all, we'll divide the chapter into two, at least two, and we'll get from verse 1 down there to about verse 14, and there you find it deals with baptism, and there we find that it deals with dead to sin. Just put that in your Bible. Dead to sin. But when you come to verse 15, you find it is alive unto God. Now, those are the major divisions that at least I have in my Bible. Dead to sin, alive unto God. Look at it. The argument, of course, that we have been instructed is the argument here at the beginning. Where sin abounded, in verse 20 of the previous chapter, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And we may tell you, young believer, that this is a book that is a sort of a legal book. It sets up arguments. It sets up reasonings of men. And then by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you find the Apostle Paul, he takes these reasonings and he answers them in the power of God. And it would seem, the more you sin, the more of God's grace. So he says here in verse 1, God forbid, how shall, verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We have been speaking this morning about what we are by nature, dead to God. Now you would take a person, we heard our brother speaking about being in Belfast prison, and some men in there for life. And there you find that they're alive in captivity, and they are dead to liberty. Remember that. That's simple, isn't it? There'll be a longing in their hearts to get out of there, so that they would be dead to captivity and alive to liberty. And that is just what we have here. Dead to sin, dead to captivity, and alive unto God, alive unto liberty. We look here and we'll see some of the reasons that the Spirit of God gives us because of the necessity of understanding baptism. Now I know that baptism doesn't take very long. It's like a wedding. You go before the man and you find that he says a few words and then it all happens and it's over. And out they go. That only takes a minute or two. And you know, it's a terrible thing when they go on and on and on. And you get tired and waiting on them. But really, it only takes a few minutes. But doesn't it take the rest of your life to live it out? And isn't it exactly the same with baptism? Just takes a few minutes of a public vow and the rest of my life to live out that vow to the glory of God. But here you find there are a few things that we would bring before you and just leave them that the Lord might help you to meditate upon them. Let us, from verse 3 to verse 5, we have the thought of baptism, and that symbolizes what it is to be dead unto sin. Do you ever take a loved one to the cemetery? And there's a burial. It's finality! Young believer, older believer, remember your vow. It was finality. Finished with this work. Is not what the hymn writer said? My old companions, fare thee well. I will not go with thee to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go. I was saved, I worked in the shipyard. I suppose our brother John would say it was as bad as the rest. Well, we went along with them. But when God saved me, the next day, I went in, and there was a few games that I was very good at. They asked me if I was going to play. I told them I was saved. And I said, yes, I'll play if you don't curse. Well, that's like asking the Lord for a year of sunshine in Ireland. And you know, when they cursed, I left it all. And I went down. And I went down to the engine room. There were lamps there, and I put a tarpaulin around a pump, and I got in there with a New Testament that my little apprentice had given to me, Jackie Cinnamon. And from that moment to this time, the Word of God has been my constant companion. And please remember, young believer, don't get discouraged like some of us got discouraged. I used to look at a little Scotsman, and when I was back there, it really hurt my heart to see him. He'd been an excellent teacher. And now he's led aside. You may know him, George Anderson. And I used to look at him. And you know, the truth poured out of him. And I used to wonder what was wrong with me. How stupid I was. I didn't know these things. But I longed to know them. And the only way you get to know them is to read the Word of God. And study. And not only study, but seek to understand. And as you read, read critically. That's the only way to get to know God's Word. But getting back to the portion here, verse 3 and verse 5, baptism symbolizes it. That is what happens. We are baptized into his death. Now look at verse 6. And you notice verse 3 begins to know. My young believer, just saved, it's essential that you become intelligent as to the meaning of baptism. Again, we find the Spirit of God says in verse 6, knowing this. And now he doesn't take us now to the grave or the tomb. He takes us to the tree. And there he shows us, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the cross itself proves that we are dead unto sin. This is what has happened when the Lord Jesus Christ died. Thank God for those who are exercised to follow the Lord and go on with the Lord. And we'll pray for you. Please remember this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ died, when I was a young believer, I picked this up from Mr. George Goodman. And in verse 10 he says, for in that he died onto the sphere of sin, the world. You know, young believer, you remember this, that the world in Romans chapter 12 is a world that can pattern you. Be not conformed to this world. It can put you into its mold. But the Lord Jesus Christ was dead. Sin of sin. It's a good thing, young believer, to get this. That Satan is the author of sin. The world is the scene of sin. And the flesh is the seat of sin. But Calvary and the cross proves it. Look at verse 11. Likewise reckon, count it as true. Faith appropriates it. Count it as true. That's how you get saved. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. And this is what it says here. Likewise reckon, count it true. You also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord
Jesus Christ. Then notice in verse 13, I'm running down this. It says here in verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments unto unrighteousness, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know, young believer, yielding enables you to enjoy being alive unto God. My, it's wonderful to know that you're living, and ask the Lord. I know all our shortcomings. Never make any progress in the things of God until you know what all you were fit for, Tommy Thompson, was to be buried. Because Christ not only died for me, but he died as me. Get that? So God says, yield your members. And that is where the enjoyment of what baptism really means. Alive unto God. Then verse 14, doctrine down there to verse 23, doctrine forbids it. What does it forbid? Forbids sin reigning in your mortal body. Now I, there's a few minutes, I'll leave it for some.
I came to Jesus, the Spirit in my hand, and the Lord is your name, my God.